Praise God. You may be seated. There is such a beautiful, powerful presence of the Lord. There's a wonderful practice that is found in the Old Testament when parents have a child, that they would dedicate that child to the Lord. We see it in the story of Hannah and Samuel, where Hannah asked for a child for years and years and years, and for whatever reason, only known to God. I think we're learning more and more as we live our life that God is sovereign. He doesn't always explain His ways to us, but they're always the best ways. Known only to God, she had no child, so she prayed and told the Lord, "If you will give me a child, I promise I'll give him right back to you." God would give her a boy, and she would give that boy back to God for the sake of the kingdom of God and the ministry. God heard her prayer. God answered her prayer, and He gave her a baby boy by the name of Samuel. And she brought him back to the house of God at Shiloh, and she dedicated him to the Lord. It didn't save him. It wasn't anything that affected whether or not he would go to heaven. But what she was doing was saying, "God, you gave this baby to me, and I give this baby back to you." And God, in His mercy, gave her many, many more children after He gave her Samuel. Today we're going to dedicate baby Glenn Mejia. I like that Glenn looked up at me. He goes, "Hey, I know that name." This little guy right here, Glenn Mejia. Today is his birthday. Feliz cumpleaños a Glenn. And we're going to dedicate him to the Lord. This is our way of saying, "Thank you, God, for giving us Glenn. We're giving him back to you." And you don't have to leave him here. It's not like with Hannah and Samuel. But what you are doing is you're saying, "God, thank you for this gift of a boy. I'm going to give him back to you, and I pray his life will glorify you." It's also a way we're saying, "Lord, we need your protection. We need your direction for our baby boy. We need you to lead him and order his steps." His name, Glenn, literally means a valley. It's a Gaelic name that means valley. And he's going to learn, if he hasn't already learned, that there are some valleys he's going to walk through in this life. But thank God we have a God who walks with us in the middle of all of our valleys. He's able to either keep us through the valley, or He's able to lift us up and bring us out of the valley. Either way, to God be the glory for bringing us through the valleys. Could I have the Mejia family come on up here? We're going to pray. We're going to dedicate not only Glenn, but also the entire family. And this is also a way of saying, "God, we need your help as we bring up our families." We're going to bring them up in the nurture, the fear. Yeah, come on up here. That's okay. Yeah, come on up here. Let everybody see. Come on up, buddy. Hey, buddy. I like, look at this guy. Would everybody say with me, "Happy birthday, Glenn"? It's your birthday, buddy. That's right. All right. We're going to pray. Would you stand with me and let's pray that the Lord would bless the Mejia family, that God would bless Glenn at a young age, that He would give him a love for the Word of God, for the Spirit of God, for the house of God, for the things of God, that God would put that in his heart. And then God would give wisdom to mom and dad and family as they bring him up to know the Lord and to walk with him. We're going to pray for you, buddy. You ready? Okay. Jesus, we thank you for Glenn. We thank you for giving him to us. We dedicate him back to you, Lord, on this his birthday. We ask you to protect him. God, I pray, watch over him. Keep your hand on him everywhere he goes, every day of his life. Let him know you're right there with him. God, I pray, walk with him through every valley in his life. May you be the shepherd who walks with us through all of our valleys. I pray you'd bless him, minister to him and his entire family. We ask you, Lord, to keep your hand upon brother and sister Mejia, brothers and sisters, that you would bless them as they raise and bring him up, Lord. I pray your Holy Spirit would give them wisdom and give them direction to know what they ought to do when they don't know what to do. God, I pray, give them direction from your Spirit and your Word. We dedicate him to you for your glory. May his entire life be lived for your glory, to honor you and to make disciples for your great name. We thank you for Glenn, and we bless you, and we dedicate him back to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy birthday, buddy. You want to say anything to everybody?
Bye-bye.
Oh, everybody, that's right. Congratulations. Oh, sorry about your arm, bud. Congratulations. Felicitaciones, amigo. De nada, de nada. Amen. While you're standing, let's look into the Word of God, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. This is the text from which we've been reading for the last several weeks. While you're turning to Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 1, I want to say how glad I am to have Josh and Dorinda back home. Congratulations. Happy to have the newlywed couple back. Welcome home. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. I'm going to try to go fairly quickly because we're going to baptize a few folks today in Jesus' name. Something is going to happen in this service. Already is happening and it's going to continue, so we're thankful. Jesus saw the multitudes went up on a mountain. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And today we're going to look at blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you have your Bible, would you just raise it high and let's ask the Lord to speak to us from his forever settled and inspired word. Lord, we thank you today for what you've already done in this service and how you've already spoken to us, how you've ministered to us, how you've blessed us. Thank you, God, for your presence, the power, the beauty we feel in your presence that's here today. I thank you for that. And I pray you'd bless your word today, God. Bless the preaching of your word. Help me to declare what you have laid on my heart. Help me, Lord, to understand not only what it means to be pure in heart, but also to explain it and then help us to live it. I ask you today, God, may we be a pure and a holy people from the inside out. I ask you this today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Only going up 6. We're good. Andrea told me, she said, "You go up too much higher. I'm going to come up there and pull you down off that ladder myself." So when I get to the 8th beatitude, we're going to figure something out. But today it's only 6. A few years ago, my girls and I were coming to Wednesday night Bible study. Just going to hear a good Bible study from the bishop. And when they pulled into the parking lot and opened up the door, right there in the parking lot, I was assaulted. I was brutally attacked by a stench. It was a stink that reached, it seemed like, all the way up to heaven. I wanted to pile the family back into the car and drive away as far and as fast as we could, but I was part of the leadership team, which meant it was my part to take a look and see what was going on. Bishop was teaching Bible study, so I was going to see if I could fix it. Went into the kitchen. Against all of my instincts, I walked in to the kitchen toward the stink, and I found myself standing at the epicenter of Stink Gate. Somewhere during the week, one of the freezers, those large commercial freezers, had come unplugged. And all of the chickens, plural, inside that freezer had died a second death. But I knew what I had to do. So I pulled the freezer out from the wall and I swept all the way around the freezer. I swept under it. I swept beside it. I swept in front of it. I swept behind it. I grabbed a mop and I mopped the floor under it, around it, in front of it, behind it, beside it, until the floor around it sparkled like diamonds. But there was still a stench. Then I figured out what to do. I went into the utility room and grabbed some 409. And I sprayed the outside of that freezer from top to bottom, every cubic inch of the freezer. I scrubbed that stainless steel until you could shave in your reflection on the doors. The outside of the doors were spotless stainless. Looked like it had just rolled off the Charleston kitchen showroom floor. But there was still a stench. Then I figured out what to do. I walked into the utility room and I grabbed a ladder, much like that one, and I climbed up on the ladder and I cleared everything that was on top of the freezer. I took down all the boxes, all the spoons and plastic forks and knives and napkin boxes, and I dusted. I dusted until it would pass the white glove test. Every square inch of the top of that freezer, it was completely clean. But there was still a stench. I could hear music already starting up in the sanctuary. Bishop is minutes away from teaching Bible study, and that stench was just piling higher and higher and higher. And everybody who came into the parking lot was assaulted by that stench. So right there in the kitchen, I just collapsed on that clean kitchen floor, exasperated and exhausted, because I had scrubbed and cleaned and cleared and swept and mopped until every inch of the outside sparkled. But there's still a stench. You're looking at me like, "Come on, LJ, you know better than that. You know you're not going to clear up a stench on the inside by just cleaning up the outside." And you're exactly right, which is why Jesus did not preach, "Blessed are the pure on the outside." he preached, blessed are the pure in heart. Now, who remembers what the word blessed means? It means happy. So Jesus says, if you want to be happy, if we want the joy of the Lord, if we want to be blessed and live a blessed life, then we must be pure in heart. God has called his church to purity. God is calling us to be different from the world. He's not called us to fit into the world, but to stand out from it. He has called us as his people to live different, talk different, be different, dress different from the world. And we often refer to that difference as purity or holiness. And I want to say today, I am thankful for our love for purity and our love for holiness. It is not a burden. It is not a chore. It's a protection for our families and for us. And I'm thankful for purity and for holiness. We must, and by God's grace we will, stand taller for purity in a world that is bowing lower to sin. But Jesus preached in his Sermon on the Mount that holiness always starts in the heart. Purity or holiness is so much more than what we wear on the outside. Purity and holiness has got to be who we are on the inside. When Jesus reached this sixth beatitude, the religious rabble around him was steaming. Some of them were called Pharisees, and some of them were on the fence about this carpenter preacher from Nazareth named Jesus. They hoped he might be the Messiah, kick out the Romans, set them free. So they listened to him, and they got out their gold and red pens, and they graded him to see if he had what it takes to be the Messiah. And every one of the Beatitudes he had taught them just made them more and more mad and pushed them farther and farther away. Remember what Jesus taught? Happy are the poor. Happy are the sad. Happy are the meek. Happy are the hungry. Happy are the merciful. And now he just preached, happy are the holy. They looked around, smoke billowing from their ears, because they're the exact opposite of what Jesus was calling for. They sparkled on the outside, but they were dead on the inside. They had tried to clear the stench of sin in their lives by cleaning up the outside, but Jesus taught them and taught us that holiness must always start in the heart. And they started off right when the Pharisees began. They started as a group of men who were concerned about holiness and concerned about purity. And they were concerned as they looked around. They saw people breaking the Ten Commandments like they were records to be broken. And so these Pharisees built some fences around the Ten Commandments, and they wrote some rules in so they could make sure the Ten Commandments would stay safe within the fences of all those rules. But by the time they finished writing those rules and writing more rules, they had written so many rules that nobody, not even them, could keep them all. And now they come to Jesus' day, and they're far away from where they started. By Jesus' day, there were several types of Pharisees. There were the bleeding Pharisees. The bleeding Pharisees were called that because they, whenever a woman would walk by, rather than be tempted by looking at her, they closed their eyes. And so when a Pharisee saw a woman walk by, and he was a bleeding Pharisee, he walked right into the wall and started bleeding. That's why they were called bleeding Pharisees. No lie, it's the truth. Then there were the humpback Pharisees who would walk around, and when a woman would walk by, rather than be tempted with their eyes, they just looked all the way to the ground, and they eventually developed some kind of a humpback type stature because they walked with their heads low to the ground. There were the shoulder Pharisees who literally wore their deeds like billboards on their shoulders to advertise to you how holy they were. All these types of Pharisees were there in Jesus' day. And there is one more type. They were called the reckoning Pharisees. These are my favorite because they walked around with little scorecards like a golfer. And they would mark off whenever they had done a good deed. And they would mark on the left side of the card when they had done a bad deed. And by the end of the day, they would look at the score, and hopefully the score of good deeds outweighed the bad deeds. These are true things. These were the reckoning Pharisees. And Jesus looked at them. Everybody else looked around at them and saw they looked so good. Common people would look up to the Pharisees and look down on themselves. How holy they were, how pure they were, how righteous they were. But then they would look at themselves and say, how impossible to ever be holy and pure like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were professional pedestal builders and pedestal sitters. But Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount knocks them off of their gold-plated pedestal and sends them crashing back to the dust when he calls for everybody, not just the Pharisees, to be holy, to be pure in heart. Jesus was letting everybody know it's not just for those guys. Purity is for you. Purity is possible for you. Holiness is attainable for you. You don't have to be able to quote the Torah backward and forward. If you want to be like God, if you want to be close to God, you can be holy like He is because He called us to be holy as He is holy. Holiness is for everybody and purity is possible, but it must always start in the heart. If you're our guest today, we're so glad you're here. Let me just say that very quickly. If you don't already have an Apostolic Church home, we from Apostolic Church, we say welcome home. We're so happy to have you here. But if you look around today and you look down on yourself because everybody around you is wearing a suit and tie and Sunday best, let me make one thing very clear that I've made clear many times before and will again. Jesus did not die for perfect people. He died for sinners. The cross is not something that only perfect people can walk up to. The cross is something every one of us can kneel at and say, thank God He died for me. If you're glad He laid down His life for you, not just the person across the aisle, not just the person down the row, but for you, He laid down His life for you. Why don't you just give thanks to God right now that He died for you? With all of your sin, with all of mine, He still laid His life down for us. All of us are sinners that are saved by the amazing grace of God. So the reason we live like we live, the reason we talk like we talk, the reason we dress like we do is because we want to be more like Him. And sometimes it costs us being less like the world. But I want to be closer to Him. Purity is not a burden. Holiness is not a burden. It is a privilege. But it's not just for the perfect. It's for everybody who wants to see God and seek God. Jesus said the pure in heart one day we'll see God. Now, pure in heart does not mean we're perfect. And it does not mean we'll never make mistakes. Pure in heart means our heart is single and undivided. That's what pure in heart means. Pure in heart means we're not living on the fence. Pure in heart means we've seen God on the right side of the fence. And we've decided that's where I want to be. If He's on that side of the fence, I want to live on that side of the fence where He is. Simply stated, being pure in heart is living on the right side of the fence. I spent several summers in West Virginia. My grandma, grandpa, Uncle Dean, every morning grandma would fix us a 5-star breakfast suited for kings. And after our little royal breakfast, grandpa and Uncle Dean would load up all their tools and lace up their boots and head out the door. And they would let me go with them into the pasture. We walked all over those 90 acres. We mended fences and they built barns. I should say, when I say we, I mean they. They mended fences. They built barns. They fed the cows and I just walked. And one of those mornings, Grandpa and Uncle Dean took me with them to work on the barn. They grabbed all their hammers and nails and all their tools and I just walked along and they worked. I sat. They worked. I sang. They worked. I complained. They worked. I begged them to let me go back to the house. They worked, I paced back and forth. I was too little to do what they were doing, so they did all the heavy lifting and I did all the heavy watching. Then I had a bright idea. They had taken the electric fence down off of the post and they had set it down on the ground and worked inside the barn that was inside the electric fence. And I saw it on the ground and I thought, why not? So I just picked it up in my hand and I just walked with an electric fence that was off in my hand along the fence. And I got to the end of it, grabbed it with the other hand, and walked the other way. Grandpa and Uncle Dean are working, and I'm just walking. I'm watching grass grow, and I've got an electric fence in my hand. That's off, but I've got it in my hand. And finally, they finished up all their work, and I remember, Uncle Dean called out to me. I'm on the teacup in Disney World in my mind. I'm far away from Meadow Bridge, West Virginia. And Uncle Dean called out to me, and I still remember. He said, LJ, I'm turning the fence back on. And I said, okay. And I just kept walking with an electric fence in my hand. And Uncle Dean said, oh, no, It gets worse. Uncle Dean said, okay. I warned him. He acknowledged the warning. Copy that. He put the electric fence, turned it back on, and a bajillion volts just went coursing through my body. You would think knee-jerk reaction would be, whoa! Nay, nay, my friend. Something inside of me said, grab a hold of that like it's the last lifeboat off a sinking ship. And as soon as he turned that on and those bajillion volts went through my little preteen body, I grabbed a hold of that thing like it was the last lifeboat off a sinking ship. And I wrestled it to the ground, holding it while it's coursing through my veins. Grandpa and Uncle Dean are over there looking around like, what is this little preteen alligator wrestler doing with an electric fence on the ground? Finally, I was able to let go of that thing. And I learned a very valuable lesson. It's far more painful to either hold on to the fence or sit on a fence than it is to find the right side of the fence and just live there. That's what Jesus was teaching when he was teaching the Pharisees. He learned it's far better to find the right side of the fence and live there, to be pure in heart, to be single and undivided. You're not trying to live with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You're not trying to please God on Sundays and then please yourself on Saturday through Monday or whatever the day of the week it is. But you're wanting to live for God with a single and undivided heart. That this is who I am every day of the week. This is who I am whether I'm around everybody or there's nobody around. This is who I am. I am a child of God and I want to live a pure and a holy life. If I had heeded Matthew 5:8, I would have known better. I would have known it's impossible to be happy and joyful living too close to the fence. So Jesus promised happiness and joy who would be pure and undivided in heart, the ones who would find the right side of the fence and live there. The pure in heart are pure in heart everywhere. They're not just pure in heart at church, but they're pure in heart at school and at work and at the game and at the store and on days off and on weeks off, and they're pure in heart on vacation. Because the pure in heart want to seek God and see God at all times, not just at service times. The pure in heart talk pure at church and at home and at school and at work and at the game and at the store and on days off and on weeks off and on vacation. Because purity is not a list of rules that keep us on the outside. Purity is a virtue that is to be desired on the inside. And purity, if it starts on the inside, will always show up on the outside. The pure in heart are pure in what they text, in what they post, in what they tweet, in the photos they send, and the photos they see. Parents who are pure in heart are not worried about kids getting a hold of their phone and seeing photos on their phone that they should not see. And kids who are pure in heart are not worried about their parents getting a hold of their phone and seeing texts and photos they should not see. The pure in heart loves Snapchat because of the funny filters. I love Snapchat. That's okay. Hey, no, come on in here, Brother Gavin. The pure in heart loves Snapchat because of the funny filters, not because it will delete the text messages they don't want anybody else to see. Is that good preaching, Gavin? Is that good? Driving by slow? All right, here we go then. It's the World Series, so let me step in the batter's box. Let me take another swing at this. Here we go. That's okay. You wanna shine those? All right, here we go. All right, Jesus. Come on, somebody. The pure in heart, no matter what his name is, no matter who he is, no matter how popular he is, no matter how cute he is, the pure in heart know better than to send a photo to a guy that they should not send just because a guy asks for it. Doesn't matter how many heart emojis he sends to you, how much he says he loves you. If he asks you to send a photo of yourself, you should not send. He does not love you. No matter what he says to you, no matter who he is, no matter how popular and how cute, if he asks for that, he doesn't love you because he doesn't respect you. You need to tell him, sayonara, senor. That's goodbye, mister, in two languages in case he doesn't speak English. The pure in heart, listen to me, those who are dating, The pure in heart treat their boyfriend and girlfriend or fiance with respect, and they keep their hands and eyes where they need to be, especially when they're all by themselves. The pure in heart are not worried about having to have one outfit in the locker at school and one outfit in the backpack before you get to church, because the pure in heart say, my life is single and undivided. I've decided I want to live for Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to walk with him. I want to know him. I want to see him. I want to seek him. If we see purity as a list of rules just to keep on the outside so we can pacify our parents or our pastor, we will cast off purity like it's a winter coat in July, when the people we're not trying to impress or please or pacify are not around. But when we see purity as a way that I can please God and I want to be like God and I want to draw closer to God, we will cling to purity like the last lifeboat off a sinking ship, because we realize purity, holiness, is a gift from God, not something to be endured, but something to be cherished. I don't live to pursue purity because I want you to like me, but I live to pursue purity because I want to be like him, and I know he sees me even when you don't. Purity will always start in the heart, and I would add this, purity starts at home, which is why we have our daily devotion, which is why we read the Word of God and pray at home, because the Word of God and our relationship with him will purify our hearts. Jesus told us that we are clean through the Word which he has spoken unto us. Paul said God will sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the Word. If you're having a tough time with purity, if you're having a tough time with holiness, but you're not reading your Bible and praying each day at home, you will struggle to be pure in heart. You will see purity as a list of rules to please the pastor and not as a privilege from God to please him. And you will live one way at church and you will live one way away from church until you're tired of the tug of war with your soul, and you will end up face down in the mud wondering how you fell so far and so fast into such filth. But if you will seek to be pure, if you will seek to be undivided in heart, you'll be able to say and live like the psalmist David, who said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I have found the right side of the fence, and I live on the right side of the fence. There is a blessing that comes from living this undivided life. Jesus taught us the pure in heart will see God. The pure in heart will see God at work when nobody else sees God at work. The pure in heart will see God at work through his people. We will see his fingerprints and footprints all throughout our lives. We'll see God working as we walk through valleys, and we'll see him as we stand on mountains. We will see God is in control when everybody feels like life is out of control. The pure in heart will see God. What a privilege one day. Paul wrote, we see through a glass darkly right now, but there's coming a day when we're going to see him face to face. Right now we see him through his creation, we see him through his people, but one of these days we're going to see him as he is. We're going to see him face to face, and we're going to be able to say, beloved, now are we the sons of God, for we shall see him as he is. John in his letter said, I really don't know what I'm going to look like. I don't know what I'm going to be like, but I do know this. When I see him, I'm going to be like him, for I will see him as he is. How do we get there? To pure in heart. It seems like a mighty leap. If you're brand new to church, my life isn't very pure. I've got a spotted record. Not proud of it, but I've got it. How do we get to pure in heart? Jesus taught us. We've already learned it. But if you're new, let me just kind of review with you. Jesus taught us everybody starts here on the ground floor. And he taught us, first of all, blessed are the poor in spirit, which means we realize I've got nothing to offer God. He has everything to offer me. And so I'm willing to accept his offer because I've got nothing. He's got everything. Then blessed are those who mourn, which means I've seen my sin. I've seen where I am, how far I am from God. And it causes me to mourn, which will lead me to repentance, which will bring forgiveness. Blessed are the meek. There's a humility that comes from realizing I need him. He has everything. I have nothing. Blessed are the hungry and thirsty. Once we have emptied ourselves from sin and self, then we can be filled with the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. You realize those who are filled comes before pure. You cannot be holy without the gift of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Once God has forgiven you, you're going to be one of the quickest on the face of the earth to forgive others, because you realize he did it for me. I'll do it for others. Last one, I promise. And blessed are the pure in heart. When you get to this step, Blessed are the pure in heart. We're closer to God, as it were, than we were before. But we didn't get here overnight. If you try to go from the ground floor to the pure in heart, you're going to hurt something. But if you climb up the steps one rung at a time and you find yourself realizing he's got everything, I've got nothing, but I want to be like him, and you get to that place where you realize purity is a privilege and it's not a chore, you will see God. Would you stand with me? Others are going to see just another work day. You're going to see an opportunity to see God. People in our country are going to see just another tragedy that strikes our shores. And you're going to see an opportunity to see God at work through you to minister to other people. For he is working for our good and working for his glory. So on that Wednesday night Bible study, there's only one solution to clean up a stench that comes from the inside. And so we got out all the cleaning solutions and got out all of the junk that was in there, all of the chicken. You're not supposed to be able to pour frozen chicken, but we got out all the chicken that was in the freezer, cleared it all out. What's that called? Repentance. We cleaned out all the nasty stuff out of the freezer. That was repentance. And then we cleaned up the inside of the freezer. And all of a sudden, you would be amazed as the stench started to go away and we could have Bible study in peace. The only way to clean up the sin on the inside, please don't start on the outside. Make sure you start on the inside. Start off with, God, I need your help. I need your mercy. Forgive me. Allow God to work from the inside out, and then he can be glorified. If you're new to being apostolic, please. If you're struggling to clean up the outside just because you want to look right, I thank you for that. But what you really need to do is clean up the inside. Say, God, I need your help. I want to be pure in heart. So help me to start off at poor in spirit and mourn and repent and be filled and show mercy. And then one day you will look at your life and say, I'm not anywhere what I used to be because God has purified and cleansed me. One way he does that is through baptism. In Jesus' name. And we're going to baptize a few folks this morning. I asked him ahead of time, what does baptism do? I love the answer. Washes away my sin. Gives me a fresh start. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It puts his holy name on our unholy life. God is not ashamed to be called our God. And we are not ashamed to be called his people. So if you are among the crowd who is going to be baptized today, why don't you come on up? The guys' changing room is up there. The ladies' changing room is up there. We're going to get ready to baptize some folks. But I'd like the whole church, not just those who are brand new to our church, but I'd like everybody to join me at the altar today. And let's pray, God, make me pure in heart. Maybe you've got to start off here. Say, Lord, I haven't done the repentance in a while, so God, please forgive me. Maybe you have to start off here before you ever get up here. But if you'll keep walking up those steps like Jesus taught us, you'll be pure in heart and you'll be able to say, thank God he's purified me. So let's come to the altar, everybody. Everybody who wants to be pure in heart. Everybody who wants this relationship with God. Everybody who wants to see purity as a privilege and as a gift that God has given us to cherish. Join me at the altar. Let's pray and let's seek God together. Let's ask the Lord, purify my heart today, God, if there's anything sinful in it. Not just my deeds, not just the things I've done, but God, who I am as a person, at my very core, my very being, purify me today. I want to be like you, Jesus. Purify us today, God, I pray. As David prayed, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, I ask you to put a new heart within us. Create within us a cleansing, a purity. Bless our students, God, as they go to school and as they're tempted day after day. Give them a purity in their heart that they would withstand temptation and they would live a life that is pleasing and honorable to you, Lord, because they want to be like you and they want to please you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, help us to be pure. Help us to be holy. Not to advertise it, but to glorify you. Not to point others to us, but to point them to you. I want to be pure in heart. Help us, Lord, as a people, to be a pure and a holy, set apart and separated people. In Jesus' name. Lewis, I'm going to baptize her in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm proud of you, Tylena. All right, if you just hold your nose in one hand, the other hand on the other. Put that over there. There you go, right there. Tylena Lewis, because you want to be obedient to the Word of God, have your sins washed away. It's a privilege today to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. turning back.
This is my friend Jason Sowers. I've known him for many years, and I've been a friend of the family. Jason wants to be baptized in Jesus' name. God's going to wash your record clean. All right, just do the same thing as she did. Just cover your nose right there and the other hand on that. There you go. Jason, because you want to be obedient to the Word of God and have your sins washed away, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive again the gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Oh, you're clean, bro. You're clean, bro. Thank God for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Jason's life. Cook-off's over to say hi to these guys, meet them, let them know your name, learn theirs. This is Matt Woody. I'm going to baptize him in the name of the Lord. Here we go. You ready? Just do the same thing. Hold your nose. There you go. Matt, because you want to be obedient to the Word of God, have your sins washed away. You've already repented. I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Oh, you're free, bro. I've decided
to follow Jesus.
I'm gonna be more like him.
I've decided
I wanna be more like Jesus.
To follow Jesus.
Oh yes, 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 yes.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Turning back. Let's thank God for what he's done today. He's done some great things. He's done some great things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you've done some great things, and mighty is your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Our small groups are scheduled for today. Some of our small groups are just having their chili cook-off fellowship today. But if not, make sure you meet up with your small group leader to find out if and when you are meeting outside of the cook-off. Be sure. I believe the sanctuary has a group tonight. Yes, Bishop? Yes, sanctuary will have a group tonight at 6 o'clock. So if you're in the small group here at the sanctuary, just join at 6 o'clock. Thank you for being here. Make sure you meet these guys and gal and congratulate them on being baptized in the name of the Lord. You're dismissed. Let's eat some chili.